is the rich man that shall be saved? By St. Clement of Alexandria. Part 7. If one should escape the superfluity of riches and the difficulty they interpose in the way of life, and be able to enjoy the eternal good things, but if one should happen, either from ignorance or involuntary circumstances, after the seal and redemption, to fall into sins or transgressions, so as to be quite carried away, such a man is entirely rejected by God. For to everyone who has turned to God in truth and with his whole heart, the doors are open, and the thrice-glad Father receives his truly repentant Son. And true repentance is to be no longer bound in the same sins for which he denounced death against himself, but to eradicate them completely from the soul. For on their extirpation, God takes up his abode again in you. For it is said, there is great and exceeding joy and festival in the heavens with the Father and the angels when one sinner turns and repents. Wherefore also he cries, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I desire not the death but the repentance of the sinner. Though your sins be as scarlet wool, I will make them white as snow. Though they be blacker than darkness, I will wash and make them like white wool. For it is in the power of God alone to grant forgiveness of sins, and not to impute transgressions, since also the Lord commands us each day to forgive the repenting brethren. And if we, being evil, know to give good gifts, much more is it the nature of the Father of mercies, the good Father of all consolation, much pitying, very merciful, to be long-suffering, to wait for those who have turned. And to turn is really to cease from our sins, and to look no longer behind. Forgiveness of past sins, then, God gives, but of future each one gives to himself. And this is to repent, to condemn the past deeds, and beg oblivion of them from the Father, who only of all is able to undo what is done, by mercy proceeding from him, and to blot out former sins by the dew of the Spirit. For by the state in which I find you will I judge, also, is what in each case the end of all cries aloud. So that even in the case of one who has done the greatest good deeds in his life, but at the end has run headlong into wickedness, all his former pains are profitless to him, since at the catastrophe of the drama he has given up his part. While it is possible for the man who formerly led a bad and dissolute life, on afterwards repenting, to overcome in the time after repentance the evil conduct of a long time. But it needs great carefulness, just as bodies who have suffered by protracted disease need a special regimen and special attention. Thief, do you wish to get forgiveness? Steal no more. Adulterer, burn no more. Fornicator, live chastely for the future. You who have robbed, give back, and give back more than you took. False witness, practice truth. Perjurer, swear no more, and extirpate the rest of the passions. Wrath, lust, grief, fear, that you may be found at the end to have previously in this world been reconciled to the adversary. It is then probably impossible all at once to eradicate inbred passions. But by God's power and human intercession, and the help of brethren, and sincere repentance, and constant care, they are corrected. Wherefore it is by all means necessary for you, who are pompous and powerful and rich, to set over yourself some man of God as a trainer and governor. Reverence, though it be but one man, fear, though it be but of one man. Give yourself to hearing, though it be but one speaking freely, using harshness and at the same time healing. For it is good for the eyes not to continue always wanton, but to weep and smart sometimes for greater health. So also, nothing is more pernicious to the soul than uninterrupted pleasure, for it is blinded by melting away, if it remain unmoved by bold speech. Fear this man when angry, be pained at his groaning, and reverence him when making his anger cease, and anticipate him when he is deprecating punishment. Let him pass many sleepless nights for you, interceding for you with God, influencing the Father with the magic of familiar litanies. For he does not hold out against his children when they beg his pity. And for you he will pray purely, held in high honor as an angel of God, and grieved not by you, but for you. This is sincere repentance. God is not mocked, nor does he give heed to vain words, for he alone searches the marrow and reins of the heart, and hears those that are in the fire, and listens to those who supplicate in the whale's belly, and is near to all who believe, and far from the ungodly, if they repent not. And that you may be still more confident that repenting thus truly, there remains for you a sure hope of salvation, listen to a story which is not a story, but a narrative, handed down and committed to the custody of memory, about the Apostle John. For when, on the tyrant's death, he returned to Ephesus from the Isle of Patmos, he went away, being invited, to the contiguous territories of the nations, there to appoint bishops, there to set in order whole churches, there to ordain such as were marked out by the Spirit. Having come to one of the cities not far off, the name of which some give, and having put the brethren to rest in other matters, at last, looking to the bishop appointed, and seeing a youth, powerful in body, comely in appearance, and ardent, he said, "This youth I commit to you in all earnestness, in the presence of the church, and with Christ as witness." And on the bishop accepting and promising all, he gave the same injunction and testimony. And John set out for Ephesus. And the elder, taking home the youth committed to him, reared, kept, cherished, and finally baptized him. After this he relaxed his stricter care and guardianship, under the idea that the seal of the Lord he had set on him was a complete protection to him. But, on the youth obtaining premature freedom, some youths of his age, idle, dissolute, and adepts in evil courses. Corrupt him. First they entice him by many costly entertainments. Then, afterwards, by night, going forth for highway robbery, they take him with them. Then they dared to execute together something greater. And he, by degrees, got accustomed. And from greatness of nature, when he had gone aside from the right path, and like a hard-mouthed and powerful horse had taken the bit between his teeth, he rushed with all the more force down into the depths. And having entirely despaired of salvation in God, he no longer meditated what was insignificant, but having perpetrated some great exploit, now that he was once lost, he made up his mind to a like fate with the rest. Taking them and forming a band of robbers, he was the prompt captain of the bandits, the fiercest, the bloodiest, the cruelest. Time passed, and some necessity having emerged, they send again for John. He, when he had settled the other matters on account of which he came, said, "Come now, Bishop, restore to us the deposit which I and the Saviour committed to you in the face of the church, over which you preside as witness." The other was at first confounded, thinking it was a false charge about money which he did not get. And he could neither believe the allegation regarding what he had not, nor disbelieve John. But when John said, "I demand the young man and the soul of our brother," the old man, groaning deeply and bursting into tears, said, "He is dead." "How, and what kind of death?" "He is dead," said the bishop, "to God, for he turned wicked and abandoned, and at last a robber. And now he has taken possession of the mountain in front of the church, along with a band like him." Rending therefore his clothes, and striking his head with great lamentation, the apostle said, "It was a fine guard for a brother's soul I left. But let a horse be brought me, and let someone be my guide on the way." He rode away just as he was, straight from the church. On coming to the place, he was arrested by the robber's outpost. Neither fleeing nor entreating, but crying, "It was for this I came. Lead me to your captain," who meanwhile was waiting, all armed as he was. But when he recognized John as he advanced, he turned ashamed to flight. The other followed him with all his might, forgetting his age, crying, "Why, my son, do you flee from me, your father, unarmed, old? Son, pity me. Fear not, you still have hope of life. I will give account to Christ for you. If need be, I will willingly endure your death, as the Lord did death for us. For you I will give up my life. Stand, believe. Christ has sent me." And he, when he heard, first stood looking down, then threw down his weapons, then trembled and wept bitterly. And on the old man approaching, he embraced him, speaking for himself with lamentations as he could, and baptized a second time with tears, concealing only his right hand. The other, pledging and assuring him on oath that he would find forgiveness for himself from the Saviour, beseeching and falling on his knees, and kissing his right hand, as now purified by repentance, John led him back to the church. Then, by supplicating with copious prayers, and striving along with him in continual fastings, and subduing his mind by various utterances of words. John did not depart, as they say, till he restored him to the church, presenting in him a great example of true repentance, and a great token of regeneration, a trophy of the resurrection for which we hope. When, at the end of the world, the angels, radiant with joy, singing hymns and opening the heavens, shall receive into the celestial abodes those who truly repent. And before all, the Savior himself goes to meet them, welcoming them, holding forth the shadowless, ceaseless light, conducting them to the Father's bosom, to eternal life, to the kingdom of heaven. Let one believe these things, and the disciples of God, and God who is surety, the prophecies, the Gospels, the apostolic words, living in accordance with them, and lending his ears, and practicing the deeds, he shall, at his decease, see the goal and demonstration of the truths taught. For he who in this world welcomes the angel of penitence will not need to repent at the time that he leaves the body, nor be ashamed when he sees the Savior approaching in his glory and with his army. He does not fear the fire. But if one chooses to continue and sin perpetually in pleasures, and values indulgence here above eternal life, and turns away from the Savior who gives forgiveness, do not let him blame either God or riches or his having fallen any more, but blame his own soul, which voluntarily perishes. But to him who directs his eye to salvation and desires it, and asks with boldness and vehemence for its bestowal, the good Father who is in heaven will give the true purification and the changeless life. To whom, by his Son Jesus Christ, the Lord of the living and dead, and by the Holy Spirit, be glory, honor, power, eternal majesty, both now and ever, from generation to generation, and from eternity to eternity. Amen. End of part 7. End of Who is the Rich Man That Shall Be Saved?